I have been looking through some of my file called Bible studies, and these are things that I just was interested in doing a little research on and so on, and finding some of them I think are make a nice basic devotional. This is one of them, The Privilege of Working with God. The context of the verse 9 is the one that I want to bring to you, but the context is verses 5 through 9 in 1 Corinthians 3. You remember that the Corinthians, they had been trained, you know, they were Greeks. And so you had the Greek philosophers that come in. So then you chose your favorite philosopher. Well, he's better than this, and he's better than that, and I'm from his school, and I'm from that school, and so on. Well, they started doing that with the preachers. And Paul says, I hear some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, you know. And then others said, I am of Christ. They were probably the worst ones. But he said, look, here's the deal, see. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Do you see the emphasis there? Don't exalt the preachers. They're doing a work. You can honor them for, you know, in the work. Paul tells Timothy about that. But don't exalt them. Don't say, I'm of this one, I'm of that one, you see. This is too much, because it's God doing it. Now, he says, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're on the same level is the idea. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, Paul and Apollos. Ye are God's husbandry, the King James margin says, or tillage. That's a tilled garden, tilled land. Ye are God's building. So I thought it was a really interesting concept here to look at this verse 9 in the context, but the main point of this was that the church is not to exalt their pastors or evangelists above their true position. And the true position, they're servants. That's what a minister is. A minister has come to be some sort of a lofty position, you know, and in governments, various places, he's the minister of finance or something. And it sounds like they're saying president or leader or whatever. But it means servant. This word minister is Strong's 1249. It's diakonos. It's the word for deacon. But often it's just translated as it is here, minister or servant. And the word has a special meaning. It is the one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master. Now, it's not a master in the sense of a master as a slave has a master. It pictures the minister as the servant in his activity for the work. He's a servant because he's doing the work, not in his relation. He's not a lesser person than the one he's working for this word. So there's no lowliness in diakonos, but a clear picture of one serving another. Paul says that he and Apollos are servants by reason of the Lord Jesus Christ's will. He says, even as the Lord gave to every man. So the Lord has given opportunity of service and has given the opportunity to lead people to Christ. What the church had become then was then not due to superior work by the pastors and other teachers, but due to God. These people have no power, the pastors have no power to actually give life to people. We can present the opportunity to go to God for that and urge that. Only God can be the one who gives life. The servants do the planting and the watering, just like a farmer, but God brings up the plant. You may plant it and water it, and pretty much at our house, then nothing grows. Things that are alive die. We know how that. We have the opposite of whatever a green thumb is, a black deadly thumb. You know. But that's why we raise a lot of artificial plants at our house. It's good stuff. Different jobs, whether you're the pastor or you're the evangelist, or different jobs do not make one servant higher than another. You don't want to think that way. You're going to see them doing their job, perhaps doing their job well, but they're both just servants. So as co-workers, Paul and Apollos and any others work under God's authority. This is the key, that God is everything in this. We're doing what he told us to do, what he gave us to do, what he gave us the privilege of doing, but it's God that actually does the work. So as a result, the Corinthians are the product of the planting. They are the product of their construction. He uses those words. So I wanted to share with you then 1 Corinthians 3:9 and look at this kind of an interesting back and forth. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, tillage. Ye are God's building. The second ye is in italics, meaning it's not actually expressed there. Although in the literal, the ye, the only ye comes at the end, but it's referring to both of those phrases. Young's literal translation then went like this. For of God we are fellow workmen, then God's tillage, God's building, ye are. So we are the workers, the workmen, and co-laborers, and we are working for God. So it's God who set it up, God who engineered it all, and he just put us to work. You, and the word tillage is a cultivated field. That's the idea. So my literal translation is, for of God we are being co-workers. Of God, a cultivated field. Of God, a building. Ye are being. So this is the emphasis. Now, what I wanted to talk about here is the privilege of working with God. The people of the church that are getting saved and growing and developing and leading others, you have the privilege of being what God has made, the cultivated field. You get to be instead of the uncultivated weed patch, you get to be the flower garden or the herbal garden or whatever it might be. And you get to be the structure. You get to be the thing built that shows the planning of the architect, shows the result of the worker's good eye. A.T. Robertson, the Greek scholar, God's fellow workers, God's tilled land, God's building. That's the idea here. God is the great architect. We work under him and carry out the plans of the architect. John Calvin says, while it is particularly the work of God to build his temple, or cultivate his vineyard, he calls forth ministers to be fellow laborers, by means of whom he alone works. So God is the effective reason, and he calls us to be at work in it. Now, what I want you to think here is the idea of the privilege of being hired by God, as it were. You get to be a laborer, a co-laborer with other people, and some very talented people, worthy people you meet in the ministry. And they are in awe of the fact that they got hired by God. I remember seeing some stories about a servant who worked for a very wealthy man, and kind man, and so on. And the man said, well, wouldn't you want to be your own man? He says, not at all. Being a servant to this man is like being a wealthy man on my own, you know. In fact, I care for him and he cares for me, and most of what he has is available to me, except what he would say is off limits and so on. So he says, my life is much greater than me running it by myself, you know, back, especially in the time of England's aristocracy and so on. Matthew Poole said, though compared with God, we are nothing, yet our station is no mean, no lowly station. God works as the principal efficient cause. We work with God as his instrument. What a privilege is that? And good old Matthew Henry, they are working together with God in promoting the purposes of his glory and the salvation of precious souls. And he who knows their work will take care they do not labor in vain. So one of my morning prayers we gather for meal or to get together is, thank you for life and for the opportunity of service. What a joy it is to work for God. Ever so often things will happen that just, it's too neat, too great. And I say, what a guy to work for, you know? What a boss to have. These things happen, and you know, my wife and I have been invited down to, where was it in Mexico? Cancun. We were there for a week, or about a week, all expenses paid, getting there. The resort was all expense paid. You went to the restaurant of your choice, and you just sat down and ordered and ate it and walked out. You know, it was all paid for ahead of time. So, you know, we couldn't afford any part of that. And God just gave it to us. And then down at a resort, a hotel in Dustin, Florida. Had a great privilege of doing a wedding down there as a storm was coming in. I had a great view. Everybody else had their back to the storm and had to look at me. But I had a great view of the storm coming in. Kind of prompted you to hurry up and get done with things, but that was when my wife was doing her walking all the time. She was walking through that thick white sand, and she was getting a lot tireder than she thought she was going to be, and then she realized that she forgot to notice what the back of the hotel looked like, so she had to call me and come out on the balcony and wave at me, let's see if I can find you. So I became her location beacon. I didn't go walking, yeah. But we've had these great privileges to do things that, but in our own selves, we'd never do. But a servant of God, you go where He calls you and gives you the opportunity, and it's a great privilege of working with God.